Hi guys, it's Keaton here for the Casthetic Podcast. I want to remind you to please use the Amazon banner link at the top of our website at casthetic.com for all of your online shopping needs. It costs you nothing extra, and the show gets a percentage of all the sales. Please bookmark it. And now, on to the show. Welcome to another episode of Casthetic. I'm your host, Keaton. I hope you guys are ready for this. It got very sensual in here today, if you know what I'm saying.
We are
here with Milo and the Doldrums, and this is their first song they have for you today. It's called Honest Abe.
I've been waiting on answers every single night while the agents of cancer lining up the sights. I'm awaiting it all, holding on to the cave. And I don't know at all, and it's not yours to solve. If you break all my falls, I won't have to care for anyone. I don't wanna lose my shame. I'm leaving. While the stewards of cancer are balancing the sights, I'm awaiting it all, oh, and only to fade. And I don't know at all, and it's not yours to solve. If you break all my falls, I won't have to care for anyone. I don't want to lose my shame. I'm leaving it out while on this day, even enemies rise.
Welcome back. I really hope you guys enjoyed that song. That was Honest Abe by Milo and the Doldrums. So let's go around, introduce everyone, make you acquainted with their voice. You got to hear their voices. So we'll just start right over here.
Hello, I am Danny Ortiz on the drums. Thank you.
I'm Rob, and I do some singing and a little git fiddle plucking.
Git fiddle plucking?
Oh, yeah.
Get
fiddle plucking.
New instrument, the git fiddle.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a fiddle.
It's a guitar-sized fiddle.
Yeah,
made out of git.
Mm-hmm. I'm Richard. I play guitar.
And my name.
Sorry,
he does.
Sorry, Reese.
A mean kazoo. It's cool. I like the intro. My name is Reese, and I play the drums. Meow.
You play the drums?
Oh, I forgot I played the bass. Sorry. I got lost in your eyes.
My name is Danny. I play the drums.
Oh, right.
Danny, you gotta put your lips on the foam.
Oh.
and I play the bass.
All right, so how did Milo and the Doldrums get started? Because I remember like a year back or so, Rob, you just coming up to me going, I got this awesome project I'm working on. So how did that project get off the ground?
I started playing open mics at Epicure Cafe in Fairfax. Awesome place. Pretty great. They have open mic every Thursday night, so you can go practice, you know, songs and meet people and do all the weird things you want to do. And then Daniel was a server there, bartender. He was doing it. I was buying
living
beers
the dream.
From him, and he was he would sometimes jam with the other people, and I would appreciate his strokes, and very very nice, very nice drumming.
The skin.
And then he came up and he was like, "Do you wanna jam?" And I was like, "Okay." And yeah, that's it. Then we got a storage unit, and then Reese came on and played a show. Because we really needed a bass, and Reese was like,
"Yeah, we didn't have a bassist.
Yeah,
just
remember,
a two-piece at a time."
Yeah, because I host that Thursday night open mic night, and I heard Rob a few times, and it's just like, "Oh, these songs are so beautiful." Yeah. And me and Daniel were friends. We jammed a couple times, and then he told me that you guys had a show coming up, and I was like, "Oh, really? Who you have on bass?" And he was like, "You?"
Yeah. I was like, "This douchebag named Reese."
That's me. I could be that douchebag.
Now, Reese, you can't see him right now, but he's got a beautiful afro, and that's really why he's so good at bass, is because
that's the secret behind
his
it.
Hair. Gives him the power to play bass.
Yeah, it's true.
It gives him the funk,
like some kind of low end Samson.
Just hide it in there.
Yeah, if he gets his hair cut, he can only hear treble pitches, so he can't play the bass.
Yeah.
So.
And now, then, we tried out this one guitarist and didn't really work out. We tried another one, and that was Richard.
Yeah, that Richard is my boss at Jam and Java. I cut onions and tomatoes in the morning, and then he whips me, and then he said he would want to play guitar.
Yeah.
Richard's awesome.
Yes, he is.
He's really good. You'll hear it in a minute. Wait, oh yeah, I mean, you already did.
Yeah, it was definitely weird because I had heard the demo they put out and I was like, "Oh my god." And like, as far as I knew, there were a three piece, and in my head I was like, "I really want to be in this group, but how does one ask their employee to join their band?"
Let me join your band or you're fired.
Yeah. It's also good to note that Richard's 21 and I'm 27. And so him being my boss is great. And he's better at me than guitar. So it's just like, oh, god damn it.
Beautiful.
Now, I hope I'm not like jumping to conclusions here, which is a part of this book I'm about to talk about. But the name, it's from Phantom Tollbooth by Norton Juster, isn't it?
Indeed.
Old Phantom Tollbooth.
Yeah.
Old Milo and the Doldrums.
Such a great book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How? Why did you decide to use that book to name the band?
we chose the band name because I remember reading that book as a kid and seeing the movie in first grade. I really liked it. At first, we were just going to call the band Milo, and I don't really know why. It wasn't because of that book. It was just, that sounds like a cool name. But then it turned out that there were a million other bands on Facebook with that name, and we'd probably get
like
a cease and desist letter,
bars,
restaurants.
Sports,
turns out
drinks.
Like an entire branch of the Nestle Corporation is titled Milo. So we decided that.
Well, you don't want to be associated with them.
And then I remember that book, you know. Lawyers. And so we just were like, let's call it Milo and the Doldrums. Because it's, you know, you don't want to be depressed and in the doldrums. You want to.
You don't want to be wasting
start from square one.
You don't want to be wasting time in the doldrums. The clock dog hates that. I forgot the clock dog's name.
It's either Tick or Talk. His name is Tick and his brother's name is Talk. And the way you get out of the doldrums is you have to do the opposite of what you did to get in there. So if you're all miserable and depressed, you just got to do other shit to not be that way. That's a pretty good lesson to teach a kid in first
grade. Like playing music.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't work, but no, I'm just kidding. No, that's the idea. You know, old Milo
in Daniel's drums.
That's really all it is. Daniel's drums.
Milo
it's just
the
all
drums.
An allusion to my drums. That's where the name comes from.
Now, that first song you guys played, Honest Abe, was fucking sick, man.
Well, thanks, man.
That was sick. Is there a story behind that song? Anything people should know? Is it about pennies?
But I'm not mistaken, Rob has this songwriting technique where, I mean, the music comes together. He's just got a brilliant mind for music. So that just comes together in his crazy, chaotic brain. But then the lyrics are kind of this like, yeah. I have to do that a few times, they turn into words, right?
Yeah, it's kind of what it is. Yeah. I mean, they do mean something, but it's like, if I were to explain it, it would just be like, take some of the, I don't know, you're not supposed to necessarily know what it's exactly about. It's about the difference between chicken nuggets from Burger King and chicken nuggets from McDonald's, and how that pisses you off because you can never decide which one tastes better.
That's a great meme.
Yeah.
I relate to that, man. So speaking of songwriting technique, now that you guys have kind of become a bit more cohesive as a group, has writing new songs been more of a collaborative effort, or has it been Rob going off being a little crazy, coming to the group, gang, hey, look at what I did, and then building upon that?
Yeah, I think we definitely would definitely get served a blueprint every now and then of, hey guys, here's a little song I've been working on. And then, at least like in former bands I've been in, they'll just be like, hey, here's a song I've been working on. It'll be like a little bit of a chorus or a little bit of a riff. But like Rob comes in and it's like, here's an entire song.
Or like, get some parts.
Oh, cool. Yeah. And then when it comes to parts.
Yeah, he's pretty gracious with letting us all come up with our own parts, especially with the newer songs. And it's been, and then we work with each other. If something doesn't sound right, we'll let each other know. And so there's a lot of back and forth. But yeah, like Richard said, the blueprint's definitely there.
It's definitely collaborative, though. Like, in no way do I come in with a whole song and go, Daniel played exactly this beat, Reese played this bass line, and Richard played this. It's like maybe two notes. I leave that, they make the song what it is. All I do is sit in a room with an acoustic guitar, and it's shitty. And then they make it way better.
Now it's time for the segment everyone's been waiting for. It's time for 5 questions. So,
oh shit.
So here it is. Cue the music. It's time for 5 questions. All right. What's the worst gig you guys have had together?
Every single one.
Oh!
Not really.
Have
we had one? I feel like...
I want to say it's the one that I booked and I couldn't make.
Oh, yes. I wasn't there for that one either.
Wait, was that the one in Vienna?
Yeah.
Oh, that is definitely
that.
The worst. Okay, so what happened was we used to have a fifth member named Colin Rosenbluth, and he's starting his own band, so he had to leave and didn't have time. But anyway...
We love you, Colin.
No, Colin's awesome. Shout out. He's amazing. Check out his band. I forgot what it's called. Fuck. I just learned what
Shrimp
it was
jacket.
Last night.
Shrimp in a jacket.
Shrimp in a jacket, yeah.
That's a
Shrimp
long name.
Shrimp in a jacket. It sounds like a penis.
We can pick
that's really great.
But yeah.
But yeah, so Richard books this show, and we already knew Daniel couldn't play it, so we knew we weren't going to have drums, and we knew we were going to play like acoustic. And then Richard was like, oh, I can't do it, I'm sorry, like the day or two before. And so we showed up, and Colin really was only like playing like 2 notes on a synth in like 3 of the songs. Like he was in no way doing what Richard was doing, where he had leads for everything. So Colin didn't know what to do, and he kind of just played whatever, and sometimes it was bad. And then sometimes he would do a cover and forget the words. And it was really bad. Like there was this like one old guy standing up there, like rocking out, and then everyone else was really pissed. It was like a family event, and we were singing Polly and like all this other shit that was not appropriate for kids. It was great.
Yeah, we basically got kicked off stage by the School of Rock kids.
Yeah, the School of Rock came up.
Move out of the way, man.
The moment they started playing, everyone went to the stage, and we just felt that we had like, yeah. No, I didn't get to get. I had to go to work.
Oh.
I stood in line for 20 minutes and realized that my food tickets wouldn't get beer. And then I was late to work.
Oh, God, that's what heartbreak is.
So I guess that was the worst gig.
Yeah,
that was
pretty bad.
It was
sorry,
fun,
guys.
Though. I agree. Terrible.
All right. The worst equipment malfunction you've had during a show?
At the Velvet Lounge gig, I kept on hitting my goddamn volume knob. And so I guess some of the little guitar parts that I add, I usually come in pretty confidently. There's nothing that really builds, and then I start. And so there's no greater disappointment than just like, yeah, I'm about to play the shit out of this part, and then hearing nothing. It's like the equivalent of just like running into a glass door, but of sound.
Yeah, that couldn't happen with the drums.
No, yeah. Sorry, I was gonna say, I think my brain is usually the only piece of equipment that'll malfunction. Oh, I got to play now.
Yeah. That's happened with me.
I haven't really had one yet. I guess, like, except for the string breaking at the studio. That was sucked.
Oh, yeah, but...
Not too bad.
Yeah. But if that's your worst problem, you're doing pretty all right.
Yeah, we're blessed.
Now, I know you guys haven't toured as a band, but if you've toured separately, this is a great question for you. The dirtiest or scariest place you've stayed during a tour?
Ooh.
Go, Richard, go.
I want to say I stayed at a hotel in Norfolk where there was still shit in the toilet. That was
Did you flush it?
Did you flush it?
Oh, is that what you're supposed to do? Because
like, this isn't my mess.
Yeah.
Was
left
it like
it,
was it their pee too? Was it like a nice
you can't tell if it's been sitting there too long.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
kind of true.
Yeah,
it all blends.
Yeah, it was a casserole at that point.
Oh, like a delicious
yum.
Beef and gravy.
I stayed at a motel in Rutland, Vermont once that not only had bed bugs, but like stab marks on the doors and the headboards. And like all the sheets were stained. And like throughout the entire night, you could just hear someone screaming.
That's so sketchy.
I got my money back.
Oh, yeah.
I stayed at
a hotel in Nashville where there was people screaming and crying in the room next to us. We were just like, should we call the cops? And then right when we thought that, cops arrived. And so we're like, problem solved, sort of.
Solved itself.
Yeah. Well, your problem was solved. You didn't have to call the cops.
Yeah.
You went back to jerking off. And
didn't have
chips.
To get involved.
My old band, Mookie Doris, we went on a small tour through the Midwest, and we were in Cincinnati, and we were staying in, like, one of the poorest parts of it, and we were in this Catholic church that had been abandoned for years, and they had to chain us up into the church when they went home at the end of the show at night, so we were just locked in. We couldn't go outside until the morning. That was pretty awesome. There was like this house, this big building across the street from it, and there was no one there except one room had a light on it, like four floors up, and it was just, he was blasting classic rock and just hanging out the window screaming, and it was pretty great. In the morning, a bunch of kids ran out from the basement, like outside from a different part. And there was like some orphanage.
A different part of the church?
Yeah, there was like an orphanage in the basement of the church that was not connected to the rest of it. And like, so they were just running around throwing water on Cody and Caleb. It was pretty, pretty funny.
Pretty sure that's when the purge was.
Yeah, that was the purge. That's why I had to watch the scene. I forgot about that. I hadn't seen that movie at that time because it wasn't out yet. But
they start them off young with just water.
Yeah.
Once you earn your water stripes, you can move up to bullets.
No, but Cincinnati is a great place, but that was a scary place. How about you, old Daniel?
No place sketchy or dirty. yet. Maybe we'll have the pleasure together, guys, for a sketchy
place.
But
this
one time I went to North Carolina in like a poorly planned tour. And we ended up camping outside, and it rained like all night, and I didn't have a tent or anything. So like the whole night, I was just like, "This is terrible! Like, the worst day ever."
Why, God?
Trying to go on tour, have a good time, you know, like meet some people, and I'm like rained out all night.
Now I'm soggy.
Now I'm soggy, and I have to meet people and have a good time.
Yeah. So the day afterwards, you know, just like groggy as shit because like you know you're all soaked and. You know, you don't have very much, you know, you don't have all that much clothes, so.
Groggy,
I don't know, just not a good time overall. But that's about it.
All right. Time for the fourth question.
Uh-oh.
The closest you've come to quitting music?
When I worked
Damn.
At Guitar Center. Honestly, I never listened to music again. I only drove around listening to NPR. Not because it's bad, but, you know, I just hated music at that point because I hated people. And I hated Guitar Center. And I hated Tom specifically. I'm just going to cut it that out. Don't. I can't say I hate a specific person in Fairfax, can I?
I don't know. It's up to you.
I don't hate him. He's just a shitty boss.
There we go.
He's waiting outside right now.
He's just a stupid bullshit fucking company.
I think
fuck
my
you, Guitar
problems,
Center.
It's only I've had girl problems and kind of gotten my priorities confused, and you know, like things go. You get in that honeymoon period, and you're like, I don't need a guitar. I got this babe.
And
then
won.
Things with the babe fall apart, and like you're just too depressed to even look at yourself in the mirror, much less pick up a guitar or anything. And thankfully I'm out of that hole, but it's definitely happened.
Yeah, I think at least I know we all sort of teach in our own way. We all teach music, and so it can sort of get pretty convoluted in our heads because playing, in a sense, is our job, and that's how we make our living. And then for fun, we play, and as a hobby we play, and as a passion we play. And so I know at least for me, it's I'll definitely just be like sitting on the couch, just like noodling around, and be like, I'm working off the clock right now. So weird. No, but I think I never, like, again, of all the things I've thought about dropping out of in my life, like, if anything, music was sort of that fallback to where, like, no matter how shitty my day was or no matter what shitty circumstance I was going through, like, I was always realizing that I'll just, like, pick up a guitar and noodle around. Just be like, oh, wait, like, I'm doing this.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same way. You know, I've never stopped playing music or considered it. I've considered, like, doing everything else, you know, except that. But I don't know. I think I'm going to stick with it. It's pretty fun so far.
It's pretty good.
All right. The best memory you guys have together as a band.
Oh, man.
That.
Oh. Right now. We're making it. Out,
I want to say the dome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely.
That was the best.
Yeah, I just remember the next morning, like, the next morning we get a text from Rob being like, guys, I think we leveled up.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like whatever that means.
It's like when your war turtle turns into a Blastoise.
Just a real quick background.
The first time.
My fiance and I moved into a dome, like a geodesic dome in the middle of the woods in southern Maryland sometime last spring. And so we finally got it to a point where we were comfortable having everyone over, because it was, I mean, it's in the middle of the woods and been unoccupied for a long time and put a lot of love into cleaning it up. And so, yeah, these guys came over, and it was literally like an hour practice and then 3 hour, 5 hour dance party.
we danced all night.
It was like all 90s night. Songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the 80s, some Cyndi Lauper there was in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was good times. We also had a group tarot reading that was really enlightening, actually. Yeah.
Drink lots of red wine.
Lots of red wine. Yeah, tequila. And,
yeah. Crown Royal Apple. All
of
it.
Lots all of ciabatta, too. Lots of ciabatta.
Wine, 90s music, and the black arts. Sounds like good.
You're wondering how Milo has a good time.
Yep. Where's
come
you Satan?
People are going to come to our gigs with pentagram candles and
incense.
Red wine and
so much
like
yeah, we're
ready
like
to party. Yep.
Yeah, we're kind of like Blue Oyster Cult. We were
but
passionately
without the Blue
satanic.
Oyster.
Yeah.
Passionately satanic band, I think, right?
Is
let's
that true?
Go around the room and really agree. I believe in Lord Jesus Satan. What do you believe, Daniel?
Naturally. Likewise, yeah, same.
Reese, do you believe in our Lord of the...
I'm scared.
So that means yes.
You're safe here, okay?
All right, well, let's...
Thank you, Keaton, and sorry, Keaton.
Sorry,
there's been a bit too much ciabatta today.
All right, well, let's move on to some music. We got next song by Milo and the Doldrums. It's called Wading in the Weeds, with an apostrophe instead of a G, where you have waiting if you're trying to spell it. It's not a G, it's an apostrophe.
Ain't nobody got time
for
that.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
Look,
no,
if we
important.
Don't teach people proper spelling of these songs, how will they know how to write them in their dream journals?
And if you can't, you know, tame your lizard, then what are you doing?
Can't. Here it is for all you out there listening. It's Wading in the Weeds. Thank you.
was waiting in the wings. I'm only looking for a space to breathe, 'cause everyone's paranoid. We clear the names for other girls and boys, so hung up and out of reach. Everyone, it seemed to me. In between the eye and eyes, it's hard to know which way to analyze. The golden rule was all we knew. We all abuse it when we get to choose. So hung up and out of reach, everyone, it seemed to me. They are still of a jealousy at anyone who's been set free, and offer up myself as a sacrifice, not a wild way for everything to say to pass away. Shut the door and tell a lie. Let her know you'd rather be polite. Entertain and don't abuse. There's no discussion when you get to choose. So hung up and out of reach, everyone, they seem to me. And I still harbor jealousy at anyone who's been set free, and offer up myself as a sacrifice, and not while you wait for everything you say to pass away. I was waiting in the wings. I'm only looking for a space to breathe, 'cause everyone's so paranoid. Clever names for other girls and boys, so hung up and out of reach, everyone, it seemed to me.
Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed that song, Waiting in the Weeds. Oh, it's sick, man. So good.
Thanks, buddy.
It's so good. You guys killed it today.
Thanks, man.
Song as the flu.
All right. So you guys just released an EP, if I'm not mistaken. Are there any plans to record a full length?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we are in the current process of that.
Ooh,
yeah,
exciting.
Yeah. We're a couple tracks down, so we're hoping to have it ready by the winter.
Yep. We're tracking live to a really nice old 16-track tape machine. Old Peter Larkin over at Lighthouse Studios in Alexandria. Pretty great. And hopefully it'll be the bee's knees. And not a piece of shit.
We're shooting for knees, not shit.
Just a little lower.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any shows coming up?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. I got to see older messages.
Okay, so on the 5th of August, that's Friday, which is actually this Friday, wink, if you're listening to this on the day it's coming out. The 5th of August, we're playing at The Pinch in D.C. And then on the 7th, we have plans to play at the Velvet Lounge. That's the following Sunday.
Oh, I think that's the one, actually, we're going to have to not do.
Oh.
Because we're already doing the 9th and 10th there, too.
Oh, scratch
there's so
that.
Many.
I'll be there by myself, the cardboard sign.
Just go out and support whoever's playing that night. Yeah.
But, yeah, the August 5th at The Pinch is totally happening for sure. And then on Tuesday, August 9th in Washington, D.C. at the Velvet Lounge. We're going to be playing this awesome show with this awesome band, Fat Night. Daniel actually super loves Fat Night. He can tell you about him.
I was like, I was doing lessons at the School of Rock in Vienna, and I got the message. I read the message. You know, a guy named Dan, he's like, hey, I'm part of Fat Night. Would you guys like to open for us in D.C.? And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I was just, like, screaming inside my head, like, because I love these guys. Like, I've been listening to them for, like, 2 months now straight. They're, like, kind of hip-hoppy, funk, like, pretty modern. And I thought they were, you know, blown up or whatever. And apparently they're, like, starting up and, like, you know, starting to tour and whatnot. So they want us to open for them. And yeah, that's so awesome. Like, I'm psyched.
First time going through D.C.
It's going to be pretty epic. So, yeah, Tuesday, August 9th, Fat Night, Milo and the Doldrums, and
Charlemagne.
At the Velvet Lounge. Oh, and then Wednesday, August 10th, also at the Velvet Lounge, the very next night, we're gonna be opening for this awesome band called Queen of Jeans. They're from Philadelphia, and you know, they're doing a debut self-titled EP kind of tour thing, going around promoting their record. And they were like, "Do you want to open for the Cheese Factory?" And we said, "Yeah, we'll do it." So Tuesday, August 9th, Wednesday, August 10th.
And then
at the Velvet Lounge,
as well as we're doing a gig August 27th at Jam and Java. That's going to be for a Ben Tufts benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So there are going to be oodles and noodles of great and awesome bands.
So many bands play that too. It's an all day event, isn't it? Yeah. So get there early. Stay there late. Got a couple open mics to tell you guys about. First one is every Tuesday night at Philly Tavern in Old Town Manassas. There's an open mic. And then every Thursday night at Epicure, there's an open mic. Wonderful open mic. As far as shows go, every Friday in September is the Jam Brew Festival up in Herndon, run by Jay Burden of Dead Wax. Highly recommend checking it out. Going to have some great bands, some great local beer. It's going to be awesome. Big thank you to our engineers / producers, Ken Barnum and Mark Ryder, and intern Kati for recording, mixing, putting up with shenanigans, and keeping us safe from the evil Lord Zed.
Amen.
Be sure to follow them at Mark Ryder Music on Instagram and at Ken Barnum and at Ico the Pup. Instagrams, you know, pick people taking pictures and videos. Taking fixtures from old Victorian homes to remodel a newer Victorian home.
What show is this?
That's what you use Instagram for now. No one uses it for pictures anymore.
No, it's all about fixtures.
Oh. It's from stealing from other really rich people.
And a really big thank you to Bias Studios for having us. Mm-hmm. They have lovely facilities. Check out their website, biasstudios.com.
It's the best place in the world.
Reese
didn't give me a look.
Be sure to go to the Facebooks and like Milo and the Doldrums to get updates about their shows, and they post wonderful videos.
Oh, thank you.
Whoever does your cinematography, it's on point with Scorsese.
It's Steve Jobs.
His spirit.
Yeah. He didn't really die, just, you know, started doing cinematography for us.
And while you're still on that old internet, be sure to throw Castathetic a like. Check us out on Instagram at Castathetic. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, if you have a band and you want to come on the show, or if you just want to say, hey, what's up? Want to go for milkshakes? I'd be like, yeah, sure. I could go for a milkshake. It's kind of hot out. Why not drink some cold dairy? Then feel free to shoot us an email at castathetic@gmail.com. And we got one more song for you guys. One more wonderful, wonderful song that's just going to moisten your ear holes.
Thank you, Keaton.
Do you guys have any?
Thanks, man.
It's been really fun. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, thank you guys. Yeah. Shucks.
I feel all fuzzy.
Now, do you guys have anything you want to say about this last song, Sunday Dawnings?
This is one of the songs that I think was already kind of finished by when we all came in. And I don't know, for me, it was really locking into this song that really made me feel like
this is definitely a band that I want to be a part of and I believe in, and you know, feel the love. There's a lot of love here. I mean, we're all pretty handsome, so that helps.
We all like to get pretty close after a long rehearsal.
A lot of hugging in our practices.
That's true.
You can get pretty steamy on a hot night.
Yeah, one thing I will say I love about this band is even if we go straight from a rehearsal to a gig with maybe a half-hour turnover time, we still hug each other like we haven't seen each other.
That's true. Oh, man.
Yeah,
it's
like,
how
long has it been since you guys played together? Like, I don't know. Yeah, like...
Well, here it is for all you out there listening. Thank you for listening. I'm Keaton Buse. This is Milo and the Doldrums, and this is their song, Sunday Dawnings. Enjoy.
I am tired and overfed, and I don't appreciate the dawn of Sunday morning. Too complacent to pay my debt, but I never worry, cause I know that in the morning I can fall asleep and everything's the same. And that'll be okay with me. Been deflated beneath my breast, but I don't remember, because I never read the warning. I'm well intentioned, but I'm ill equipped. I make a stranger long for more than I am able. Oh, but in the end, oh man, but don't dismay, and that'll be okay with me. Out of mention, you pollute the true moon with envy. Van insoluble strain, you make a chase way the ordinary blame. You cannot erase, and that'll be okay with me. I am tired and overbred, and I don't appreciate the dawn of Sunday morning. Too much poison, my good karma spent, but I never worry, cause I know that in the evening I can stay late and everything's a game, and that'll be okay.